produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Come on.
Joseph was low, then he was high, then he got brought low again. So what we find ourselves in this passage is that Joseph is in prison. He's in a dump. He's in a low place. But the irony is that even though he's in a low place, God has made him high in a low place. Ooh, can I say that one more time? God has elevated him even in a low place. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, let me see if I can say that one more time. Maybe it'll catch you. Maybe it'll get you. Maybe you'll feel it. That Joseph is down in a dungeon. but yet he's on high. What do you mean, Reverend? Is that even though he's low, God has made him a success. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, can I help somebody real quick? Let me see if I can help you real quick. Is that, have you ever been in a low place? Have you ever been brought low? Have you ever felt low? Energy low? Funds low? Spirits low? But yet, folks wonder why you were able to come to church and lift up your hands and to be able to give God praise, even though you may not be able to have 5 cents in your bank account. As a matter of fact, you may be sitting in overdraft, and folks want to wonder why you still going down there lifting up your hands and saying, I thank you, Jesus. I trust God. It's because you learn how to be high in a low place. Oh, can I help somebody real quick? Is that my brothers and my sisters? Is that there ought to be us on here today? Is that we may not have everything that we want to have, may not be what we want to be, but you still ought to be able to have your praise on high. You still ought to be able to worship God without restriction. Nobody should have to poke and prod you. And I'm talking to the folk who really been in a low place before, because if you've been in a low place, you know that it was nobody but God who kept you. And then I'm talking to the folk who've been in a low place, who know that the low place don't always last long. I'm talking to the folk who know that God will bring you up from the low place. I know I'm talking to more than just a few that just hollered back at me, because I'm looking at some folk in the crowd right now who you can be able to say that, yeah, you may have been low, but look where you're at now. That everybody counted you out, thought you were going to stay down, thought you were going to stay out, but look what God did, that God brought you so you can tell somebody that he came. I came, but he came. Come here, Joseph. You're still successful in a low place. You're in charge in a low place. And here comes two men that are in Pharaoh's house. Two men who work for Pharaoh. The banker and the cupbearer, chapter 40. Each one is in jail for a reason. We don't know the reason. We just know they're in jail. We know they locked up. Pharaoh sent them there. And Joseph is now to be able to serve. The Bible tells in chapter 40 that he is there serving the cupbearer and the baker. And each one has had a dream. And each one is disturbed by his dream. Here comes Joseph. And Joseph says, well, tell me about your dream. He says, watch this. I can't interpret it, but God can. I can't interpret what's going on, but God can. Now, here's the thing. Joseph reminds you, he's been labeled the dreamer. But by the time we get to chapter 41, and going in chapter 40, he's moved from just dreaming to now understanding dreams. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, that's good news, because it lets you know that God has a way of maturing you, that God has a way of growing you and developing you. But the problem is that we have a whole lot of undeveloped Christians in the pew. That we got a whole lot of people that have not moved from where they were to where they are now. That Joseph can tell you that where I was when I was with my father and I was with my brothers is not where I am now. That life has been able to grow me up. Some things have changed in my life. And I'm here to let somebody know that sometimes you got to grow up. So he grows. Moved from dreaming, now he's interpreting dreams. Bible says that one comes and says, well, says to him, tell me a dream. Cupbearer tells me his dream. Baker tells him his dream. Cupbearer's dream is Pharaoh's going to restore you. I'm just summing it up for you. Pharaoh's going to restore you. You're going to be fine. Brother Baker, I wish I had better news for you. When you get out, he's going to impale you or hang you. Those are dreams. That's what I got. Can I help somebody real quick? Stop thinking that every chance that you get that God should always give you good news. But wait, what you mean, Reverend, is that here it is. Not everything that the Lord tells you is stuff you're going to want to hear. You see, I think so many times we have this misunderstanding of what we think, of what we want God to do, that we always want to hear just happy and awesome and wonderful things. And yes, God does good and perfect gift come from God, true enough. But guess what? Sometimes in life, you got to get through. And sometimes the truth ain't so sweet. Sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth is not necessarily going to make you feel all that great. Yes, what you mean, Reverend, is that when you come to church, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be empowered. I want you to be uplifted. But sometimes you ought to leave church. Sometimes you may be a little mad. You can't shout every Sunday. Sometimes I want you to leave here knowing that God loves you and he wants you to change. You see, sometimes God can't give us all good because we'll never change our way. The rain's got to fall on the just and the unjust. Some things you are hard to hear. And I'm continuing to tell somebody today, as your pastor, stop listening to all them prophets that keep telling you God's gonna turn it around, God's gonna do it, God's gonna make a way, God is gonna see you through. If that prophet ain't telling you nothing but good, leave him alone. Because a true prophet tells the truth. And is not impeded by what you want, but he is directed by what God tells. So Joseph tells the baker the truth. Sorry, man, you're going to die. Cupbearer, you're going to live. But he tells the cupbearer, watch this. Listen, Mr. Cupbearer, when you get released, don't forget about me. Come on. When you get back in good standing with Pharaoh, don't forget about me. And don't you know, just like folks you know in your own family, I got you, man. When I get out, I got you. Don't act like y'all ain't got folks like this. Soon as I get some, I'm going to remember you. Soon as I get up, you the first person I'm going to take care of. And just like the ninjas we know, chapter 41 says, in 2 years, have passed. Yeah. Cupbearer been out of jail for 2 years. And they said nothing to Joseph. Oh, I knew they were black. They gotta be on the show. Cupbearer living the life of luxury. Living it up, kicking it. But then all of a sudden, something happened. And the thing is, I love it that it's the cupbearer that has the responsibility. Why? Because the cupbearer's job is one that's kind of important. What does the cupbearer do? I'm glad you asked. The cupbearer's job is to be the food tester. If the wine is poisoned, he's on that. If the food got something in it not supposed to. But it's interesting to be the cupbearer because the cupbearer, not just that, my brothers and my sisters, not just poison, but if Pharaoh gets sick from eating something, if Pharaoh gets sick from drinking something, guess who he's going to look at? It's in the age of modern medicine when we learn about DNA and genetics that certain things affect certain people differently. All the Pharaoh knows is, I don't feel good, I don't feel well, and Mr. Cupbearer, you drank it, you ate it before me, and you feeling fine. Okay, all right, let me try to help y'all. I love it that the cupbearer has 2 years, and the Pharaoh has not, and if the Pharaoh has been sick or anything has happened, he's not thrown anything against the cupbearer. Now, mind you, the cupbearer owes Joseph a favor. And the cupbearer can easily be thrown back into prison at any given time. And I had to ask myself, I said, self, why would the cupbearer not be thrown back in prison in 2 years? Why is it that Pharaoh could easily got sick, blame the cupbearer, and threw the cupbearer back in jail? And the Lord had to tell me, Lee, you missed about a cupbearer. A cupbearer is the first line of defense. And the cupbearer understands that it's his job to cover the Pharaoh. And so because the cupbearer is covering the Pharaoh, what makes you think that I'm not covering the cupbearer? And the reason I'm covering the cupbearer is because the cupbearer owes Joseph. And watch how God's timing works. Is that in the same 2 years, after 2 years, I've covered the cupbearer, kept him out of jail, kept him in favor, because I've got my hand on Joseph. And because my hand is on Joseph, my hand is going to be on the cupbearer. Okay, let me say that again. So, his hand is on Joseph. Joseph owes him a favor. And so if God's hand is on Joseph, then God's hand is going to be on the cupbearer. What are you trying to say? Is that my brothers and my sisters, that there's a whole lot of people that are blessed because how they're connected to you. And I'm glad today that we can shout and celebrate God's grace. Because God's grace has covered all of us in here. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, if you be honest in here, you sitting on grace. You breathing in grace. You walk through the door on grace. You clapping your hands on grace. Am I talking to anybody in here that can just thank God that you got grace on your side? What is grace? It gives you another chance. It's able to give you another opportunity. And am I talking to anybody in here that says, I don't want to waste my opportunity because I don't know what's going to happen when I leave out of here. But I'm going to tell them thank you, right? So, cupbearer, 2 years. Pharaoh has a dream. Now, mind you, watch this. Pharaoh didn't just have a dream, he had two dreams. First dream woke him up. It was a nightmare. Thought he could sleep it off. All right, that freaked me out. Let me go back to bed. Goes back to bed, lays back down, has another dream, just as disturbing. And I'll be honest with y'all. You've got to give Pharaoh a little bit of grace too. Because heavy is the head that wears the crown. You don't know what your leaders go to bed with. You don't know what's on their shoulders. That's the reason why we pray for those who are in charge of us, even if we disagree with them. You still need to pray for them. Because you don't know what they have to deal with. You don't know the stories that they have to encounter. You just look at Barack Obama. Barack Obama looked like a spry young black man. And then by the time he left office, he was old, he was gray-headed, he was, and I think he probably picked back smoking. Why is that? It's because in 8 years, things have been on him. Situations and circumstances have been on him. And I'm here today to let somebody know it's easy to criticize leadership, but it's another thing to sit in their shoes. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Oh, when I'm in the pew, I can easily criticize the pastor. I can tell what the pastor ain't doing. I can tell you what the pastor needs to be doing that's better. I can tell you what deacon needs to be doing. I can tell you what trustees need to be doing. I can tell you what this one needs to be doing. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to do this. And my advice to you is you need to pray. Because God didn't give you that charge. And if God gave you that charge, maybe you will understand what they're dealing with at the same time. Y'all know how many pastors I know that have quit. Pastor. Flamed out. Burned out. When you became a whole other profession. Because the burden was too much to bear. It keeps you up at night. And then, too, if God really wants to get your attention, sometimes he's got to disturb your sleep. Why do you say that, Reverend? It's because you don't pay attention while you're awake. You don't listen while you're awake. And you may not even talk to him while you're awake. So he said, the only time I can get your attention is when you close your eyes. Oh, am I talking to anybody in here that can just be honest and say, I had my sleep disturbed because the Lord was trying to get my attention. God was trying to tell me something, and I wasn't listening. I wasn't paying attention to the sign, but God came in your sleep. So happens here. God comes to Pharaoh asleep. Pharaoh doesn't understand the dream. Dreams about cows, skinny cows, eating fat cows. Dream about withered crops, eating good crops. He's trying to understand what all this means. And God has somebody already written. The cousin that said he was going to remember you. You know, the friend that told you, I got you when I get out. Now all of a sudden, he removes. I mean, let somebody know, don't be mad at them. Because God's timing always overtakes what they want to do. Just trust God's timing. That God put them there for a reason, and God has them to remember you in that time. Notice that Joseph didn't go to the man and say, man, why you didn't say nothing about me for 2 years? You left me here. You left me here to be here, and you didn't say nothing. And I'm going to let you know, here's a reason why I believe Joseph didn't say anything. For one, Joseph was successful where he was. But two, Joseph understood a lot what we may not understand. That if God's hand be on you, you got to trust the hand that's on you. Can I say that one more time? Is that you got to learn how to trust the hand that is on you. Because God's timing is always in due time. God's timing is always the right time. And somebody here ought to be glad to know that God's timing is not like man's timing. But God's timing comes right on time. Oh, I'm talking to some folks in here who's had some on-time blessings just this week. That it didn't look like the situation was going to turn around. It didn't look like it was going to step in. It didn't look like nothing was going to change. And it looked like it got so bad. But is there anybody in here that can say, before I gave up, before he took me over, God stepped in right on? Okay, maybe that's not your testimony this week. Can I talk to the folk who've had something in the last 40 years that if you let your mind go back down memory lane, that you can think about how God's timing worked in your favor, that it looked like it wasn't going to happen for you, didn't look like you were going to get through, but God stepped in right on. I'm talking to myself in here today. I thought I was talking to some living witnesses. They don't mind lifting up your voice and saying, I thank God that the Lord has a way of stepping in. Not when I want to, but he steps in right on. So, Joseph has been in prison. Cupbearer says, I know a man. He can interpret your dream. He told me my dream. Told your former banker his dream. And the dream came true. You killed the baker. And you brought me out. Go get him. He's in a dungeon. Go get him. Now, what's so interesting, and I didn't even say this last time. Mr. Fundry, Joseph is staying in the chief executioner's prison. So Joseph is staying close to death. I hope y'all get this. I want y'all to get this. Because this really blessed me, and I should have said it last Sunday, but Lord, I guess he held me back to say it this Sunday, is that Joseph is near death. He hears death. He experiences people who are on death row. But yet, God is keeping him, and he's so close to death. Okay, let me stop, come get you. Let me stop, come get you. Is that my brothers and my sisters? It ought to be at least about maybe at least one or two people in here that can be able to say that the Lord, that you were hanging near death, but God delivered you. That God, am I talking to anybody? See, I just said this last Sunday. I wanted last Sunday, but I can't let somebody know, hey, watch this, my brother and my sister, is that you can hang near death. But the good thing is that God has his way of keeping death off of you. Am I talking to anybody in here that can thank God? Watch this. Yeah, wait. Because it's not just a physical death. But somebody is hanging on a spiritual death. Your faith is about to give up. You about to say, forget God, forget this Jesus, this church thing. But I came to let somebody know, don't give up. You're near, but guess what? God will bring you out. Hold on. He's got you near so that you can have a testimony. To be able to tell the devil that you thought you had me. You thought I was going to die. You thought you were going to take me out. But look at me now. All right. So, I should do it last time. But, so, go get Joseph. And I love Joseph. Joseph goes, shaves his head, gets cleaned up. Why does he do that? Because he's got to look like an Egyptian. He's got to look presentable before the king. Okay, what do you mean, Reverend? He can't look like a prisoner if he wants to be free. When you go before the king, you got to look like an Egyptian. You got to look a certain kind of way. Oh, can I help somebody? Is it my brothers and my sisters? Is that I'm coming and let somebody know that where you want God to take you, you got to start acting and being like that. See, the problem is people want to be free, but you act like a slave. You want God to deliver you, but you still act afflicted. What you mean, Reverend? Is that I want God to bring me out, but then all you do is complain. Can I come in your house? You want God to heal you from something, but all you want to do is complain about what aches. All you do is say that I'm on too many people. You complain about the doctor. You complain about the pharmacy. But God says you want to be healed. Why don't you start thinking about yourself being healed? Why don't you start talking like you're healed? Why don't you start talking and acting and being like somebody who knows that God will bring you through and that God will make a way? Am I talking to anybody in here that can be able to say that I want God to do something for me? Well, baby, you need to prepare yourself for where God is taking you. You need to remove some mindsets, remove some strongholds, remove some people out your life who aren't in your best interest. And if you want God to take you to the next level, you got to think differently. You got to act differently. Joseph didn't want to be in the dungeon anymore. He didn't want to be down there anymore. So he said, I'm low, but I'm going to act like I'm high. Because I'm already high on the fact that God is keeping me. But now I got to dress like it. Oh, don't you know, my brother and my sister, it's something about when you put on a fresh pair of clothes. And brothers, y'all know how it is when you get that fresh haircut. You think you're the GQ model of the day. Y'all know how we walk around when we get that fresh haircut out the barbershop. We feeling good about ourselves. We think we a lady killer. We go home to our wild and girlfriend. They can't tell us nothing. Why? Because it's changed your mindset. Here's Joseph. Mind's been checked. Goes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, hey man, I heard you got a skill. He said, yes, well, what did you get? I heard that you got the ability to interpret dreams. And I had two terrible dreams. Two awful dreams. Let me tell you my dream. And I love what Joseph says. Joseph says, I cannot interpret. But God can. Now, why would he say that? Because Joseph understands what we need to understand. Is that in life, my brothers and my sisters, there are certain things that you will find yourself that you do not have the ability to do. And you say, well, what you mean, bro? I thought that verse says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, but there's a context behind that verse. What you mean, Reverend, is that there are some things, my brothers and my sisters, that you cannot do. You will find yourself in some situations to where you may not have the ability to do. What do you mean, Reverend, is that life will knock you down. The enemy will knock you down and put you in a position to where you can't do something for yourself. There will come a time when you will not be able to eat for yourself. It may come a time when you may not be able to drive yourself anymore. It may come a time when you may not be able to think for yourself. It comes time when you can't do certain things. And guess what? It's okay. Because my deficiencies are a sure sign that God's sufficiency will show up. What you mean, brother? Let me say that one more time. Is that when I have deficiency, I'm glad that God's sufficiency steps in. What do you mean? Is that wherever you're deficient, he can handle whatever you cannot do. What do you mean? Come here, Paul. Paul said it like this, that I had a thorn in my flesh and it came to buffet me and it was bothering me. And finally, God had to tell me that my grace is sufficient for thee and my strength is made perfect in weakness. What do you mean? Is that Paul says that I had to learn that there was some time that I'm not able to encounter or endure certain things, but I know that I can lean on a God who can do it for me. That's what I came in to let y'all know. Very simply and very shortly. That whatever you feel like you cannot do, you ought to be glad to know that there's a God who can do it. And do I have anybody in here that can have that same testimony? To be able to say that I know that God can do. That when I fall short, God will pick me up. When I can't go any longer, God will push me over the finish line. Do I have anybody in here that can be able to say that when I wasn't able to lift myself up out of my bed, God, he lifted me. Oh, ought to have some witnesses in the building. They can be like Joseph and say, I may not have the gift to do what you want me to do, but I want you to know, but my God can step in. Matter of fact, we say it like this, is that my God will supply all of my needs. That when I can't pay for things on my own, I got a God who will step in. And do have anybody in the building on this morning that can be just like Joseph and say, I cannot do it. But I thank God that I came in the building this morning to hear that there's a God who can fix what is broken. And do I have anybody in the building that can be able to be like me and to be able to say that there are certain things in my life where I have fallen short. There are certain things in life that have gone beyond my control. And I don't know about you, but I'm talking about me now. Is that I'm a control freak. And I like to control everything around me. I like to control everything. But is there anybody that's like me where you've had to feel yourself get out of control? Where it felt like you didn't have control over people. You didn't have control over places. You didn't have control over things. But I'm glad today that was the Lord trying to show me that I need to fall on my knees and to be able to lift myself up to him, to be able to say, Lord, I've gone as far as I can go. I've done as much as I can do, but now I gotta lean and depend upon you. And I'm talking at least about two people who know what it means to lean and depend on God. Has anybody ever tried it? Look at Joseph. Is that Joseph told Pharaoh, I can't do it, but still tell me anyway. God's going to tell you what you need to hear. And here he tells Pharaoh, and Pharaoh tells him the dream. And here's Joseph. He listens to the dream. Joseph hears what he has to say. Joseph's like, that sounds good. I think I got what's going on. Is that seven booth cows and seven skinny calves? What that's trying to tell you, Pharaoh, is that you'll have 7 years of goodness and 7 years of famine. And the 7 years of famine will be utterly devastating to your people. And the seven crops that look good and the seven bad crops that ain't up the good crops, that's just telling you the same thing. And he tells the Pharaoh, don't be discouraged. I've got a plan that if you take the seven good years and take one fifth of the seven good years and store it up, put it in storehouses, when the seven bad years come, you'll have what you need in order to make it through the bad. Can I help somebody? Don't you know That's how tithing works. Is that when you tithe, and you store it up, because there's gonna come a time when you're gonna run out and you need to go to the storehouse. That's the reason why we got the church. That's the reason why I tell y'all, keep tithing, put me in God's house, because there's gonna come a time when you might need to make a withdrawal. And it's hard to withdraw if you ain't put nothing in. Am I talking to anybody that has put something in? If you did put some money, maybe you put some time, maybe you put some joy, maybe you put some peace. And not everybody goes through seasons where money is low, but you may go through seasons where your joy is low, where your health ain't so good. Am I talking to anybody that don't mind saying that right now I'm up and I'm gonna give God some praise? I'm going to lift my voice, because sooner or later, a famine is coming. And eventually, I got to come in here when I'm going through a famine, and I got to make a withdrawal. One Sunday, I may not feel the best, but I need to make a withdrawal. Am I talking to anybody? I just threw that in for free. Let's close this thing. The Bible says that he is Joseph. He lays out the plan. He said, I can't do what God can. And Pharaoh said, well, since you got the plan, I got some good news for you. Guess what? You got a job. And your job puts your second in charge. And I can imagine Joseph looking at the Pharaoh and said, I could get myself out. I could get myself to second in charge. But is there anybody out there that could be like Joseph and said, it wasn't me, but it was God who elevated me? Good evening, Gospel Temple. May God bless you real good. I came to let somebody know, is that God, he'll elevate you. And it's not you. It's not what you know. It's not how good you look. But somebody knows, is the favor of God all on your life. And favor will put you in places that others couldn't imagine. They want to know how you got to where you are. Just look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, the favor of God is on me. That's how I got to where I am. It wasn't me, but God. Is there anybody that's got some but God testimonies to be able to say, it wasn't me, but God? Health, but God. Disease, but God. Finances, but God. Is there anybody that don't mind witnessing and saying, I thank God for the time he brought me when I didn't see my way? He did it. Say, yeah. Watch. Watch this. Hold on. Wait a minute. There's something from last week. Is that Joseph was in charge of a household. He was running Potiphar's house. Let me tell somebody, don't despise where God has you, because many times where he has you is preparing you for where he's going to take you. Just yesterday, he was running a house. Just today, he's running a country. Good evening, now, y'all. That what a mighty God we serve. Don't despise where you are now. God has a way of taking you higher. Am I talking to anybody that can serve a God that will take you higher? Won't he do it? Say, yeah.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.